Glory to God. I want to talk to you this morning. I want to deliver my heart. I don't know if you call this teaching or preaching. It doesn't matter, does it? It's the word. Amen? It's the word of God. But I want to talk to you about something that's core value to a child of God. Every one of you sitting here this morning that know Jesus, and if you do, say amen. Amen. Every one of you that are sitting here this morning that know Jesus, these are core values to you. These are extremely important areas in your life that you need to know and understand, and you may or you may not understand these. But today I want to give you some understanding. I'm going to preach to you this morning about the cross, the cause and the effect of the cross of Jesus Christ in your life. There are six things that God, through Jesus, accomplished by Jesus' death on the cross. They're core values to the believer. Some of these things that I'm going to teach you, you may not have heard of before. Some you may have heard of and not understood them because some of them are high theology. But they have a very simple meaning. Let me talk to you about six core values in the life of every believer. The first one is called expiation. It's something that very few Christians may understand or have heard before, but it's a core value and a doctrine of the Christian faith that we know and believe because of the death of Jesus Christ on the cross, that this is the very first thing that occurred that you have in your life. And expiate means to do this, that God, through Jesus Christ, removed our sin and our guilt. Aren't you glad for that? That's the very first thing that the cross did for you and I. Through this doctrine called the doctrine of expiation, it's actually the removal of your sin and your guilt. And it's unbelievable how that through the cross and the blood of Jesus Christ, that God could do it. It's not unbelievable that God could do it. It's unbelievable that He would love you enough that He would allow His Son to come in on this earth as a man and still God and live a sinless life only to take on the sins of everyone and pay the price of the curse that came on us through the Adamic curse, through the sin of Adam. The second of the six things that God has done for us is called propitiation. And I don't know if you know what, to me, propitiation means, but it simply means this, that through the love of God, whereas expiation removed our sins, propitiation refers to God's removal of His wrath against us. So not only have I been made sin-free and guilt-free, but I have had through propitiation the removal of God's wrath against me. Now I want to tell you something. If someone tried to hurt my children or my grandchildren, I would become extremely defensive and protective, wouldn't you? And even if someone tried to hurt you, a friend of mine, I would become protective of you. If I was out in town, Dana, and I saw some man try to take your purse or harm you, I would run to your defense and I would hurt him. I would have wrath on him. When I think about this, how that I was the sinner and he was to sin less. How I sinned against God and broke the covenants of any kind of agreement that I would make with God before I really committed my life to Jesus Christ, and I would make those promises to God I didn't keep. And all of you say, amen. God, if you ever do this, I won't do that. I remember sitting in traffic in St. Louis one time while I was up there on special assignment, and I said, God, if you get me out of here, I'll never do this again. But I've done it several times since. But propitiation means that not only through expiation did God, through Jesus, remove my sin and my guilt, now through propitiation, God has removed his wrath. Isn't that incredible? You see, I made peace with God. Not just peace with God. God loves me. There's no wrath against me. God doesn't have any reason or want or desire to harm me. He, in fact, loves me because of the act of the cross. The next thing God did through the cross, the third thing, was reconciliation. That's the most incredible thing in the world. Expiation removed our sins. Propitiation removed God's wrath, and reconciliation refers to the removal of our alienation from God. We're not alienated from God any longer. We've been brought into relationship with him. You listen closely to this, church, because I'm setting a stage for something that's going to give you the power in your life to receive what God has for you. And you can't receive it unless you understand the fundamental truths of who you are in Jesus. That what the cross did, he removed your sin and your guilt. God removed and took back his wrath for you for being a sinner against the very laws and natures of God. And thirdly, he brought you into relationship, and you were no longer alienated away from God. Not an alien, but a child of the Most High God. This all occurred through the cross. The next thing he did was our redemption. When he redeemed us through the power of his blood, means that our slavery to sin is broken. I can't tell you the emotion that I feel in my spirit for what God has done for me personally. Surely you understand what it's like to be a slave to sin and then to be set free from that slavery. He removed my sin. He removed his wrath. He brought me in to be a child, and he broke the power of sin on your life. You're not a slave to sin. Then the fifth thing he did was defeated the power of darkness. Do you understand what that cross did for you? Six core values. He defeated the power of darkness. The entirety of hell, Satan, every demonic follower in the league of the darkness of the abyss was defeated, triumphed over. Well, one of my favorite scriptures. Let me find it here. I love this scripture above about any scripture that there is. It's Colossians 3:15. Put it up there for me, Brian. In Colossians 3:15, it said this: Let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful to God. Let the peace of God, for what God's done, rule in your body, and to be strong and powerful. and loving for God. Why and how can I do that? Go to Colossians 2:13, 14 and 15, Brian, and put that up there. And let me read that to you. This is what happened through the blood and the cross of Jesus. He not only redeemed us with strength, but with power. I'll read it to you here in Colossians 2:13. When you were dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your sinful nature, God made you alive in Christ. How many are thankful that you're alive in Christ? He forgave us all our sins, having canceled the written code with its regulations. The first covenant was good, but not good enough. Jesus came and with the power of his resurrection canceled the code and the law that held us captive, and we were bondage by the law of Moses. Now we were set free by the blood of Jesus Christ, having canceled the written code with its regulations that was against us and that stood opposed to us. He took it away, nailing it to the cross. And listen to this. And having disarmed the powers and authorities, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross. He literally made a public showing of his triumphant power over the power of sin and hell and everything that Satan could possibly bring your way has been beaten and destroyed and publicly shown to come under the direction and the surrender of the blood of Jesus Christ. And he did all of this, number six, by dying as our substitute. The doctrine of substitution. He took your place. He took your place. Okay, here's what I'm going to ask you now. And let me quickly, I want you to listen quickly with me. What he did. He removed your sin and your guilt. He removed the wrath that he should have had for us. He brought us into relationship and we're no longer alienated from God. He redeemed us by breaking the power of sin, the slavery of sin in our life, and gave us freedom. He defeated Satan and all of his powers and weapons. And then he did this all by becoming our substitute. When I read this, I got a different take on it this time. It wasn't just a take on, thank you, Jesus. The Lord spoke to me and asked me this question. I'm going to ask you this question. If he took away your sin and your guilt, and he did, amen. If he removed the wrath of God from you, and he did, amen. If he brought you in from alienation to childhood or adoption where he loves you, you became his child, and he did, amen. And if he redeemed you and broke the power of sin over your life, and he did, amen. And he became your substitute, and he did, amen. Destroyed the powers of hell, and there's no demon that or Satan himself has the power over you because of the cross. These are all things that I've read, and Scripture that backs them up. If you believe those six things, say amen. Amen. If you really do believe them, say, Pastor, I believe that. Then let me ask you something. God was speaking to me the other day, and he said, I'm going to ask you something. Why? If I've done all these things, and I have done all these things for you, why would you not believe that regardless what the enemy brings your way, it's already been defeated before it happens? Anything. Any attack by the devil has already been defeated by those six things that the cross did. You don't have guilt. You don't have sin. You don't have God's wrath. You got His favor. He loves you. He brought you in and you're His child. He broke the power of slavery of sin over you, and He broke the power of hell that would try to destroy you. And He did this all through substituting Himself in your place and giving you the right and the freedom as a child of God to come to Him anytime, any place, with anything, and get victory over everything. Do you believe that? It's the truth. So I said, Father God, I know these things are true. How do I apply them to my life? And the answer was too simple for me, and I tried to complicate it, and He kept coming back to the simplicity of how this happens. He said, you have to just receive it. Whatever you ask for from God, believe that it's done, and if you'll receive the victory that I've already done, whatever it is that you're thinking right now, whatever circumstances, there's not a circumstance, there's not a condition, there's not anything that can hit you, occur to you, or happen to you that the power of the cross hasn't already brought under the authority of God. And you've already defeated it if you can receive it. How do I receive it? Simplicity. Go to God and ask Him, Father God, I'm asking You to help me to receive what You've already done. You see, I'm sitting here telling you this, you're going, oh. Tell me something deep. I just did. Probably the deepest thing I've ever told you. Tell me something that'll tingle my blood. That should have tingled your blood. Tell me something that I can use. You can use what I just told you. If you're a child of God. Now let me tell you something. When Jesus disarmed Satan, He took away every power over you He had. There's one category where Satan still has authority and power. And that is, listen to me. Are you listening? I want you to listen closely. This is where Satan gains his power. One area, unforgiven sin. That's it. Unforgiven sin allows Satan access to you. Unforgiven sin allows Satan access to you. So you can't have a 90 plus relationship with God, 90%. Doing better than I've ever done. Closer to Jesus than I've ever been. No, none of that stuff works. It's an all or nothing relation to Him. I'm a child of God. I've given up the things of the world. I've stopped being a sinner by the power of the blood of Jesus, by the cross that's given me authority over it. All I have to do is receive that authority and trust in Him and believe in Him. And when I do, that authority that's in the cross of Jesus Christ that I have in my life gives me the ability to stand in victory over any and everything that comes my way, except one thing, is when I invite sin into my life, I invite Satan to come in with his destructive force. Unforgiven sin is the only power he has over you. If you live your life a life of holiness and God wants you to, that life of holiness will sustain you. That life of surrender to Jesus will sustain you. It's none of this what I believe, it's what the Word says, amen? It's none of this what I think, it's not it, it's what the Word says. And when we surrender our life to Jesus in such a way that we live a life separated from the world but holy to Him, then everything I'm telling you this morning is yours. It's already there by the virtue of the cross. Listen to me. Let me read some of my thoughts to you on this morning. Sin had run rampant from the fall of Adam. Satan had established his kingdom on earth, focused on his plan to one day dominate the very throne of God and hold in control the souls of every man and woman born on earth. But one starry night in a small town of Bethlehem in Judea, in a manger, a baby was born that caused a stir in the darkness of the headquarters of hell. God, without conferring with the devil, brought an antidote for the poison of sin. God allowed his glorious Son to become a man, but a man with divine blood that would destroy the totality of Satan's power, break the bars that held men prisoners, remove the curse brought by Adam's sin, destroy death, and make mankind to receive the adoption of his blood, protection of his resurrection power, and receive power by becoming the new dwelling place of the Holy Spirit of God. And this all happened through the cross of Jesus Christ for you. God sent Jesus to take back everything that sin had captured, to remove Satan's influence and empower you to live a holy life, free and full of joy. He redeemed us from the curse. He redeemed us from guilt. He redeemed us from the power of sin. In fact, Jesus paid it all. I read in the scriptures that Jesus in Colossians 2:13, 14, and 15, he disarmed the rulers and authorities and put them to open shame by triumphing over them openly in him. Jesus, listen to this, Jesus destroyed the totality of the power of Satan. Satan's only weapon that can ultimately hurt people is unforgiven sin. And Jesus took this weapon away from Satan for anyone who believes in him and follows him. When you stand in Jesus, you're standing in the presence of victory over the enemy. You're dwelling in the atmosphere of healing, of deliverance, protection, and provision. The power gained through the baptism of the Holy Spirit has already been made available to you from Jesus, and all you have to do is receive it. That's all, is receive it. Receive it. Father God, I receive this blessing you've given me. I receive the healing that you paid for me. I receive the redemption. I receive the guilt-free life. I receive the love relationship that God has with me. I receive the victory over sin. I know Christians today that are living far below the level of the redemption that Jesus Christ through the cross brought to them. They live in fear. They live in intimidation of the devil. They constantly believe that they may fall back into old sins, not understanding the fundamental truth. But I'm here today to pull the sheet off of the lie of hell and tell you that when Jesus said, "It is finished," he broke the back of hell, and Satan has never, ever from that day forward will never have victory over the power of the blood of Jesus Christ. You're his. His blessings are yours. His deliverances are yours. His healing is yours. His salvation is yours. His infilling and baptism of the Holy Spirit is yours because of the cross of Jesus. Through the power of his blood. Let me ask you this morning. What do you want from God today that you don't have? What is it that you've asked Jesus for that you don't have to this point? What's your wish list with God? Where are the areas in your life that Satan has badgered you because you didn't understand? You see, a lack of understanding is the ability to live redeemed but not live in the fullness of redemption that Jesus has prepared for you. When you were saved, you were saved. When you confessed Jesus as Lord and Savior, He became your Lord and Savior. And everything that the cross did, those six areas that I read to you, those areas were accomplished and given to you in full, complete power and authority through the blood of Jesus Christ. And when He cried, "It was finished," it sealed the covenant with you. And you have got everything and every power over the power of hell that exists, and still we live intimidated by the possibilities of what Satan may do. We don't want to cross him. We don't want to get him aggravated at us. Well, the devil's mad at me today because of this. The devil, apparently I've upset the devil because he's done this or done that. Let me explain something to you. The devil can get mad at you all day long. He can attack you. He can make threats toward you. He can do everything he can. But there's one thing I want you to know. Satan is not omniscient. He's not all-knowing. He only knows the present, and he doesn't know the plan. When he was planning to conquer this earth, and it became the king of this earth and move into the glories and take over the dominion of God, he didn't understand that without God conferring with him, God had a plan that was ahead of the plan of the enemy. So whatever the devil brings your way and whatever you're confronted, being a finite individual, not knowing tomorrow, and Satan doesn't know tomorrow, but I've got some really good news for you. Jesus does know tomorrow, and with every plan of defeat the devil's got for you, God has got five victories lined up to tear his way apart if you'll just understand who you are and what you have and exercise the power of God and the blood of Jesus Christ and the dominion of the cross by saying simply, "Father, I receive the glory and the power and the deliverance and the healing that you have provided for me." He is your financial provider. He's your spiritual provider. He is your physical provider. He is the one who understands when no one else does. And when you ask him, he is quick to respond to you. Do you believe what I'm telling you today? Do you really believe God will take care of your situation? Then receive it. Receive it. Lift your hands up and just receive it in the name of Jesus right now. Totally, completely, absolutely, without reservation, without worry, in peace, that it's yours. Receive it. How many say, "Father, I receive it right now"? Some of you are burdened right now. I want you to lift your burden to him right now and say, "Father, I receive it. In the name of Jesus, I receive it all right now. Father God, I thank you and I praise you. I receive it in Jesus' name." Now I want you to shut your eyes. I want you to talk to him just a minute. I want you to tell him right now, in the name of Jesus, "Father God, I receive. I've battled with this and I fought and I've theologically wrestled with it, and I've done everything I know to do, and I just receive it, Father God, in Jesus' name. I receive the healing." Father God, right now I want to pray for healing in this room. If you need healing and you're saying, "I receive that healing right now," raise your hands to the Lord right now. You're His child. You're not someone else. You're not alienated. You've been brought into relationship. You are His child. You say, "I haven't had that healing yet," but you will in Jesus' name. "I receive that healing. God, I receive it." Just tell him, "Father, thank you for it. I receive it." He's the one that does it. God, I receive that healing right now. It doesn't take a man. It just takes the fact that I'm your child and I receive the healing. God, I receive that healing. Right where you're sitting right now, I'm telling you, God's healing is taking place right now. It's not me. I'm not walking out on a limb. I'm absolutely speaking what God spoke to me to speak. And as I touch you this morning, if I don't touch you, it doesn't make a bit of difference. You're receiving healing right now in this service. This is as much a healing service as standing in any line. There's miracles that are happening by you knowing who you are and what God's made available to you. And healing is taking place. Healing's happening. There's healing right now in this house. Father God, the miraculous is happening right now. You're going to prove it. There's going to be people that come to church. They're going to say, I came to church to testify. I came to church because I know and I believe what the pastor said, and it was the word of God, and healing's taking place. Those stubborn healings, those things that you've wrestled with that have come and gone, and you're tired of it, and you know you've been through a lot, and God wants to heal you in the name of Jesus so you can be more productive in the kingdom of God. Absolute, complete, and total healing. God, is we call on you right now. Healing is taking place in this house. Healing is taking place in this house. Healing is taking place in this house. Folks, listen to me. Your time will come in just a minute, but I want you to pray with me. I want you to don't beg God, thank Him. I want you to thank Him for the healing, because healing is taking place in this house. The things that you thought couldn't be are happening. The things you're weary and tired, the battles you fought are going to change. There's healing's happening in this house right now. God, we believe it. We trust you. We thank you. God, it's your word. We gained it on the cross in the name of Jesus. Father, we gained it on the cross in the name of Jesus. Father God, we thank you, Jesus. We're receiving it. That's what you're doing. Sister, you're receiving that healing in Jesus' name. I'm receiving the healing. God, I have battled this, and I've theologically gone through and said done everything I know to do to bring you glory. But God, I need just to receive what I have. Healing is taking place this morning. Healing. Healing, Father God, in Jesus' name. Lord, I praise you and I thank you. God, I thank you and I praise you. You're His child. You belong to Him, and healing's taking place in your body. God, it's nothing, there's no funny business to this. This is the word of God. Absolute, complete, total healing is taking place in your body right now in the name of Jesus. Father God, there's no doubt that, Lord, just like the woman with the issue of blood, you're healing right now, Father God, and people are receiving that healing in the name of Jesus. Lord, I thank you. Church, just say, Father, I receive healing right now. I receive healing right now in the name of Jesus. I praise you and thank you for it. Now listen to me, church. There's people here this morning who are saying, Pastor, I've been fighting a battle. You'll know exactly what I mean. I have been fighting a battle for a long time, and I get relief, and then it comes back like a storm, and I get relief. And it comes back, and I'm just so tired of this yo-yo effect. And I want the battle to be defeated. It's not God's will that I'm involved in it. It's not God's will for this to happen. And I want healing for the battle. Raise your hands to Him right now. And I want you to listen to me closely. I don't have to touch you. It's you right now. I want you to say this. Father God, I receive victory over this battle right now in the name of Jesus. God, I receive victory over this battle. Never again, not another visit from Satan. Never again. God, I receive victory over this battle. I'm not going to live a life in defeat when you have defeated my enemy by the cross. I'm not going to demean the cross of Jesus Christ by not believing. Tell him, church, I receive the victory over this battle. I remove myself from the battle and I give it to you. Tell him that right now. Father God, I'm removing myself out of this battle. I have done everything. I've fought. I've done all I know to do, and I'm not going to do any more than I can't do any more than I have. Father God, I remove myself out of the battle right now. God, you know what that battle was. There's deliverances. You told me this morning, Father God, there's going to be many that have deliverances this morning in their life. And that's the battle right there. Father God, listen to this next group of people. These are people that are here this morning that need to say this. Father God, I need to really understand who I am in Jesus so I can properly fight the enemy. If that's you, I need to know who I am in Jesus for sure. That's fine. Raise your hand. Don't you dare be bashful about that. I want to know who I am. I want to understand who I am in Jesus that I can with authority and that I can with confidence. I don't care how long you've been serving God. Put your hands up. I want to know absolutely so much. And I'm going to be honest with you, my hand's up on this one. Because I want to know who I am in Jesus. If I know absolutely who I am, Satan cannot lie that I won't detect it. He can't pull something over. He can't take my ministry or your ministry. He can't destroy us. He can't do it. If I know who I am in Jesus, I'm going to understand the authority I have over it. Father God, for every hand that's raised in this house right now in the name of Jesus, I pray this. I pray understanding into their spirit. If you'll receive that, say, Father, I receive understanding right now. I receive understanding. Now, you don't have to go out and get a good book and read it. All you have to do is understand this. Jesus will speak to you in your spirit, in your heart. He will begin to speak to you and tell you, and things that you didn't understand before are going to become clear to you, and it's going to change your life to understand who you are as a child of God. Father God, I don't understand this. Now listen, here's one more I want you to listen to. Church, this is very important this morning because I can't tell you the things that will happen without my fingerprint on them this morning. There's no hand of man. This is a sovereign act of God this morning, and it's different than anything I think I've ever done. But God said, have them receive it. Not from me, from him. I showed you what the cross did, what it gave you. There are people here this morning that have been fighting financial battles for a long time, and you're so mixed up because of the diversity of the prosperity message. That some people don't want to be in the prosperity message because it's so self-centered, and some of it is. It's selfish, self-centered, and godless. And then some want to live in poverty because they believe that that's some show of righteousness, but that's not true. God wants to bless you, and he wants to prosper you. If you believe that, say amen. But you've been confused by it because that's one thing Satan has done. He has brought confusion into the church about the doctrines. And one of the doctrines of God is that you would be prosperous and bless you in your mind, in your spirit, in your finances, in your health, but in your finances right now. You say, Pastor, I don't know which way to do or which way to, I don't want to be one of these wrong ones, but I don't want to be one that misses out. Well, I'm going to tell you here this morning as your shepherd, and I wouldn't feed you poison for anything in this earth. God wants you to prosper. He wants you to prosper. He would not have listened to me. Are you listening? Are you getting too tired? If you are, I'll do this another time. Are you with me? Listen to me. God wants you to prosper. Or in Malachi, he would not have commanded you to tithe him in order for you to have his blessing. He said, when you tithe me, that's one dime on every dollar. All that is between you and God is you showing God you're obedient to Him without the, even when you don't have the money you think to tithe, that's trust. It's trust and obedience. So when you take your paycheck or anything that comes into you, if you have a blessing that comes to you some way, inheritance or land sale or whatever, and that comes to you, and you say, God, this is a blessing, and all you're saying is just give me a 10% of this. If you have your check that comes in every week or 2 weeks or month that you earn, and you say, God, you gave me this job and you're being good to me, I'm going to give you 1/10 of that. I'm going to give it back to you. If God didn't want you to prosper, He wouldn't have said this. He said, bring me the tithe, bring it in here so this church can operate, or wherever you go to church, that church can operate and spread the gospel and teach you and cause you to grow in Christ. He wouldn't have said, and test me and see, I'll open the windows of heaven. Now, I want to tell you something. We can't begin to calculate the blessings of the windows of heaven when they're open to us. It's unlimited blessing, isn't it? It's unlimited. It's God-sense blessing. And He wants to bless you. And so when you are obedient in that way, He'll bless you. That's why Dr. Brown has taught us too. If you've got a need, put a seed offering in and tithe it. Watch what happens. Tithing. Pastor Donnie, what did you tell me about tithing the other day? Stand up real loud and tell what you learned about that. Really loud.
I saw tithing in a completely different light. The Word of God says that if you pay your tithes, I will rebuke the devourer. The Word says that if you don't tithe, you are cursed with a curse. And that's the curse.
That's the curse.
I saw that God's not zapping you because you don't tithe. You are under a curse because we live on a cursed earth. Mm-hmm. And the curse is there is a devourer that has to be rebuked. The word in Hebrew for rebuke means stop. The word devour means seed eater. And He says that when you tithe, I will stop the seed eater that is a curse that is eating the seed in your life. You are sowing seed and you're asking where the harvest is, and He's saying there is a devourer trying to eat your seed because you haven't tithed, and the tithe stops the seed eater.
Stops the harvest. Now let me explain something. He didn't get that out of a Cracker Jack box. He got that from a very dear friend of mine that's one of the greatest Hebrew scholars in the country by the name of Dr. Jimmy Snow. Dr. Snow studied 13 years at Vanderbilt University, and he knows Hebrew better than I know English. He's a dear friend of yours. And that's exactly what Dr. Snow said at the camp meeting privately about what happens when you don't tithe. The devourer comes and eats the seed. Without the seed, there's no harvest. And when you tithe, you're being obedient to God. When you don't, you live under the curse of the world. It's nothing God's mad at you. It's just that you're not going to be blessed. But you're here this morning. You say, Pastor, I want to do this right, and I want to have prosperity in my life. Some of you need a new house. Some of you need a new car. Some of you need to get out of debt and quit buying houses and cars. Some of you need to have a satisfaction in your heart with God that's greater than any need or desire to go buy something to make you feel better. And I'm not saying that. I'm just saying God is going to bless you with wisdom, and He's going to bless you with prosperity too. But if you want to receive prosperity in your life as a child of God, I want you to raise your hands right now. I've just done some explaining to you, and there's no reason on the face of this earth that you can't prosper. There is no reason on the face of this earth that prosperity won't come to you as a child of God. You lift your hands to Him. All you have to do is say, Father God, I receive it right now in the name of Jesus. I want you to say that. Father, I receive it right now in the name of Jesus. In whatever form and way you decide, God, I want you to prosper my life in Jesus' name. Would you tell Him that? Financial prosperity, God, I pray, blessing on this house right now. God, I'm not into the phony. I can't stand the thieves that are call themselves preacher that fleece the church. But God, I am telling you this, the church has a resource greater than we're calling on, and we're calling on it this morning. This is what you taught me. This is what I'm telling you. Father God, I receive prosperity. Say that out loud right now. Now, Father God, you have so many areas this morning because of people's healings. I'm anxious to hear the healings that people are going to come back and say, Pastor, after Sunday it was over, it stopped. There's two more areas I'm going to talk about right now. Pastor Donnie alone. I don't need any other musicians, just you, to come up here. I'm going to ask you this morning. If you're here first and you're living under the curse, and what that means simply is this: you haven't surrendered your life to Jesus. I don't care if you go to church. I don't care if you've gone to church for 50 years. I'm talking about you haven't surrendered your life to Christ. I'm an expert in this area, I know. I was born in the house of a pastor. When I was big enough to hold a mandolin in the backwoods country church, I played a mandolin on the front row. When I got bigger, I played a flat top guitar on the front row. When I got a little older, I played a bass guitar. And I was as in church as much as you could be. Every service, I was there playing music. But I had not surrendered my life to Jesus. Now, anybody in my school where I went thought I was a little Christian boy because I just kind of snuck around and did a few things. I wasn't really surrendered to Christ. By the world standard, I was okay, but I was not surrendered to Jesus Christ. I had things in my life that literally shouldn't have been there, and I allowed them, which gave Satan access to me. And the only reason and way Satan can access to you is unforgiven sin. Now, I'm going to tell you something. When you accept Jesus and you're serious about it, the Holy Spirit of God will give you the power to stay saved. You'll be tempted, sure you will, but you won't live in this battle of temptation. He's going to give you a love in your heart that's greater than your love for whatever it is that took you down or comes back and takes you down. Any temptation, any habit, anything that you have, God's greater. If you believe that, say amen. And so if you're here this morning, I don't think I've ever been as serious as I have this morning. It's a different type of preaching. We'll have Jericho marches. There'll be things. But God wants to get some things done this morning, and he's getting them done. I promise you, I've received your healing for you already, and you're healed. I've received your deliverance this morning in the name of Jesus as your shepherd, and you're delivered. I have broke the curse by the power of the blood of Jesus for you this morning, and you've received it, and you received prosperity this morning, and you're going to physically see it and come back and tell us that God has done this. But it's not going to be, I got money and look how much. It's going to be a recognition of God heard me and answered me, and that's going to be greater than any amount of money you're going to receive. Your love relationship with Jesus. But if you're here this morning and you've got unnecessary things going on in your life, and I'm as serious as I can be, unnecessary things going on in your life that disqualify you from the power of the cross, that's the only thing that Satan has power over you is unforgiven sin. And you're here this morning, you have any type of sin in your life, I don't care if you're an associate pastor or the choir director or a Sunday school teacher or just a member, if you've got something or some things that you need to make right with God, stand up right this second, and God's going to do them right now. Don't you wait. Don't you dare look around. Don't you wonder what somebody else is going to think about me. This is between you and God, and if you really want freedom this morning, God's going to give you freedom. Now, I'm telling you, this is a window that God's opened for people that are doing some things in their life they shouldn't be doing and have some things that they're allowing in their life. Church, listen to me. If this is all, that's good. But if you're sitting here this morning and you're wondering and worried about what somebody will say about you, you're absolutely, completely, and totally living in a state of pure pride that what I'll look like matters to me. I'm going to tell you something. If you'll ask God to stand, if you'll stand this morning and say, Father God, now you can't sit down and do it. Don't get me wrong, but I'm telling you, the Lord said, stand up and expose it. That's what he's saying. When you do this morning, by doing that, that act of obedience is what God will respond to. You can sit there and pray all day long if you want to, but if you'll stand up and say, I'm exposing this thing that I don't need in my life, and I want God to give me victory over it, I'm going to give you one more opportunity this morning to stand up right now, and I'm going to pray for you. Father God, there are people standing up all over this place. I want you to lift your hands like I am right now. That's the freedom you're going to receive. God, I'm living in some things that shouldn't be in my life. And in the name of Jesus, I come to you right now. I'm standing up in obedience. And that act of standing is the obedience. That's the entrance. That's the acceptance that you're looking for. Father God, in Jesus' name right now, I pray forgiveness. Now here's what I want every one of you to say right now. Jesus, I receive forgiveness in my life. Guilt-free, wrath-free, lovingly accept forgiveness. I'm delivered. I'm forgiven. I'm clean before God. Thank you for forgiving me, Jesus. I repent. I confess my sin, and I will, with your help, say it loud, I will, with your help, abandon that thing that's brought me down. In Jesus' name, I proclaim freedom by the cross and the blood of Jesus Christ. Now, everybody in this house, raise your hands and thank him for freedom right now, Jesus.